But as we continue to worship today, we're going to be picking up with our sermon series on the I Am statements of Jesus. Now, these I Am statements tell us who Jesus is and give meaning to his life and death and resurrection, and also tells us how God is continuing to transform us in our own lives. And so next week, we're going to look at that famous saying in which Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we're going to look at how Jesus guides us. But today we're going to look at probably one of the most familiar pictures of who Jesus is as we look at Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Because Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. And we're going to look at this, that when we are in times that are uncertain and when we feel uncertain, Jesus is the Good Shepherd who cares for us. And so let us look in our scriptures. And you can look for your copy of the scriptures, or we'll also have it on the screen. John chapter 10, starting at verse 1. And this is Jesus speaking. And he says, very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. And the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Well, we are in week two of all the crazy, as many of us have experienced this new thing called social distancing that we never knew about in the weeks before. We have March with no madness, and of course, many of us have been watching as the stock market has been tumbling around, that it really is a different time for all of us. And one of the questions that's been coming to my mind is that when we have faced this time as people, how have churches responded? And so one of the things that I went to look at is this, is that we've actually faced a time like this in 1918. And it was a time in which the Spanish flu rocked our nation and rocked the world. And in fact, the Spanish flu claimed the lives of 15 million people worldwide. And so from that, we can see, how did we respond as a church, and how did churches respond all around the country? And there was a couple examples. The first one is that as that flu spread and it picked up in 1918, everything closed, much like we're experiencing now. And this is where we're even looking historically at some of these practices of trying to flatten the curve and trying to slow the spread of the virus. And so businesses closed, theaters closed, churches ultimately closed. And so all these the different, you know, public works, everything shut down. But what we see is that even though churches closed, that they didn't stop meeting, that churches were actually encouraged to meet in their homes, much like we are now. And some even mentioned and observed that they would meet in their homes much like they did at the time of the apostles. And one church actually didn't shut down. This church was Russell Street Church of Christ in Nashville. And it didn't close, but it actually became a makeshift hospital. And many of the churches around it even pitched in to help. And because the hospital systems were overrun, that many of these church buildings, that's what they did, and that's what Russell Street did, is they became a place that began to take care of those who were sick, and their members chipped in, and they really provided this as a place where people could find the care that they needed. And in fact, we even have this example of this observation that was in the Gospel Advocate. It says this, that because of the influenza epidemic, that this quote opened up a way for the enlargement of the sympathies of Christian people. In other words, because of everything that was going on, that this gave an opportunity for people of faith to actually care for those around them, to be there when the world needed them, and that's what they did. And in fact, that's what we're doing now, that in this time of uncertainty, that this gives us an opportunity to care for other people in the same way that Jesus, who is our good shepherd, cares for us. And that's what I see in this passage as we dig into it a little bit deeper. Because as we pick up this conversation, that this I Am statement really finds itself in the context of the I am statement we looked at in last week in John chapter 8, is Jesus is the light of the world. That in that statement, that Jesus is still in this conversation with the Pharisees as they're looking at this question that many of us, oftentimes think about, and that is who is Jesus? Because that's the question that's on the Pharisees and the religious leaders' minds. They're saying, who is this Jesus and what is he doing? And so Jesus is in this conversation with them, and which they're thinking, is Jesus the king, the Messiah, the Savior, the one that we've been waiting for? Or is Jesus a prophet? Is he merely one who's just speaking for God? Or frankly, is he just crazy? And this is the same question that you and I have to answer for ourselves, is who is Jesus? And so Jesus is speaking with them, and we find in John chapter 9 that Jesus goes and he heals this man that was born blind. And oftentimes in our scriptures, people who are experiencing physical blindness, that it's a picture for the spiritual blindness all around him. So Jesus heals this man. And then the Pharisees and religious leaders have him come in, and they begin to question him. And he says things like, I don't know what's going on. All I know that I was born blind, and then this man healed him. This man healed me. And so the Pharisees continue to question him, and he even has this great line where he just says, what, do you want to believe in him too? Because the Pharisees, they see the works of God all around them, but they just can't seem to believe that Jesus is God. And in fact, Jesus has this conversation with the man born blind where he begins to engage him again, and then the Pharisees overhear this, and then they say to Jesus, are you calling us blind? And Jesus says, if you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty, but yet you claim to see, therefore your guilt remains. And then he gives them this analogy, and some have even called it a parable. And this is in verses 1-6. This Jesus gives them this picture of the shepherd, and let's look at it in some detail there. And that's where he begins, very truly I tell you, Pharisees. And then he begins and goes into this analogy. Anyone who does not enter the sheep gate by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. And we're going to look at that here in a second. But he says, only the shepherd is the one who enters in by the gate, and the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. And the sheep know him by the name, and that strangers they won't listen to. And this all sounds very peculiar, and in fact, in verse 6, where it says Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Sometimes we can relate to those Pharisees, right? That Jesus is giving them this picture, this analogy, but they don't quite understand what it is. But this is basically what Jesus is doing. Jesus is giving them this picture of sheep and of gates and of thieves and how sheep listen to the voice of their shepherd, because Jesus is trying to give them an analogy and a picture that would be familiar to them. Because throughout the scriptures, we see this picture of a shepherd with a sheep is the same picture of a king with his people. And in fact, when Israel thought about a king, they would think of the ideal king would be a shepherd. That's the kind of qualities that their leader would have. Qualities like a shepherd that we're going to look at in just a moment. So it makes me think about this. What qualities do you think of when you think of a leader? Sometimes in our modern context, we can think of, a CEO who runs a business, or maybe a president or a prime minister that runs a country. Maybe we think of a coach with their team and their players, or maybe even a teacher in their classroom. But what qualities do you think of, and what would you like to see in a leader? And if you comment on Facebook, we'll take a look at those. But we'd love for you to share those with other people. Because when I think about a leader, I think about somebody who maybe has a vision, who can set a plan and rally people. But a leader is also somebody who takes an interest in the people that they're around them, that they care about their lives, that they really are for them, that they want the best for them. That those would be some of the qualities that we have. But think about that. What qualities would you like to see? And so that's what Jesus is sharing with them, this picture of a shepherd, this picture that they would have known, and this picture of saying, this is what I am to these people and to the world. Jesus responds to them, I am the good shepherd that cares for my sheep. And here's how Jesus does it. And these are the qualities that Jesus is sharing. The first one is that Jesus leads us. The second is that Jesus knows us by name. And the third is that Jesus lays down his life for us. So I want to take a look at these three pictures for the moments that we have together. The first one is that Jesus leads us. And that's what he does when he uses this metaphor of, I am the gate, which sounds really, really strange when we read it. And in fact, some people, when they look at these I am statements, that they will actually count them as two statements, but really they're one statement. And in some of your translations, it may even say that I am the door, which seems so odd. But I'm going to give you a picture of a sheep pen in Jesus' time. And as you take a look at this picture, you can see a little bit about what Jesus may have been talking about when he gives them this picture of I am the gate. Because to be the gate is to really to give the role of the shepherd. And it's a way in which the shepherd would really lead the sheep and be a leader for them. And this is one of the pictures that they have, that the shepherd would actually serve as the door. Because as you look at that picture that they have a stone enclosure, and that's where the sheep would go in and they would rest for the night, and the shepherd would actually sleep in the doorway of that enclosure. That the shepherd would sit there and he would be protection, but he would also lead them out. That the shepherd, when it would become morning, would then lead the sheep out so that they could graze. And then he would lead them back in at night. And so the shepherd would lead them into abundance and also into protection. And that's what we see in verse 9 as Jesus says this, where he says, you know, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And then he goes on to say, they will come in and go out and find pasture. That when Jesus is saying, I am the gate, Jesus is saying, I actually lead my sheep where they are to go, and that I'm the good shepherd. I will lead them where they need to go. I'm going to lead them into places of abundance. I'm going to lead them into places where they know that I care for them. That's what it is to be the good shepherd. And he goes on into verse 10 where he says, the good shepherd who is the gate also provides protection for his sheep. That as the sheep come in at night, that they're able to lay down and they're able to sleep because they know that their shepherd is at the gate, blocking away from predators and those who would want to prey upon them. Jesus is given this picture that as the good shepherd, he is the gate that leads them. And in this, they can trust and find pleasure in their daily routines, because they know that when they wake up during the day, the shepherd's going to lead them out. And when they come in at night, the shepherd will lead them back. But the shepherd's going to protect them, and they can find comfort in their daily routines. So I'm curious about this, that in the midst of kind of the changes over the last 2 weeks, what routines have brought you comfort? What routines have really provided some stability for you? You know, in the last week, my wife Brandy actually put us all on a schedule. And so that way, in the midst of trying to work from home and now doing school at home with our kiddos, that we actually have a schedule at home. We know when free time is, when lunchtime is, when we're all going to do our schoolwork. We even have a time for art class. And so she told me this week that I needed to come and teach art, and I was a little late. So I'm going to have to pick up those lessons again next week. But the schedule provided us a daily routine. So in the midst of changing schedules throughout the day, in the midst of everything that was going on around us, in the midst of, you know, uncertainty and just kind of wondering what day to day would look like, we knew that we had a regular routine, and so we could focus on that. What do we need to do today? What do we need to take care of? And in the same way, in a way of kind of having some fun, we've actually even picked up watching some old movies that we've missed along the way. Some of those movies that we always thought, you know what, we're going to get to these one day. Well, we started watching some of those movies. And this began a way for us to kind of pick up a new routine to say, hey, we want to gather as a family and we want to watch movies together. That we're establishing new routines to bring us comfort. And that's what Jesus is communicating as he's saying, I am the gate and I am the door. That I will lead you out. I will lead you in. I'll provide protection for you. And I'm going to lead you where you ought to go. Jesus is saying he is the one that cares for us in our basic need and our day-to-day need, but even he is the one that leads us to a place of abundance. And the next picture we see is this, that not only is Jesus the gate, but Jesus knows us. Because did you notice in the midst of this where he's saying, you know, I am the gate, then he's saying the sheep will know my voice. And the sheep will respond to my voice. And when they hear the voice of strangers, that they won't respond to the strangers that they hear. That the sheep really will know my voice. Because the shepherd has spent time with the sheep. Now, I've read that in Middle Eastern cultures and other cultures that still practice this sort of type of shepherding, that sheep know the voice of their shepherd. that even in a shepherd could go into a flock of crowded sheep and they could call out his sheep by name, and then they would come to him and they would respond to him. Well, I've had a little bit of experience with sheep because I worked on a farm for about 2 years when I was in college. And if you know anything about me, this was not the sort of job I would have, which was kind of the point at the time. But I worked on a farm, and I'm curious if any of you have worked on a farm or been around sheep. Because at this farm that I worked on, we had some sheep. But here's the thing. I didn't spend hardly any time with these sheep. Basically, I would just see them in the morning, and I would see them before I leave. I would go to feed them on my way to feed the pigs, and I hated the pigs. So I really was just trying to get that job over with as quickly as possible. So I really didn't get to know the sheep, and so I can't really relate to what Jesus is talking about. But it did make me think about this, that over Thanksgiving, our family got a puppy, and we have a picture of it here. So I want to introduce everyone to Jarvis. So Jarvis is the black pug on the floor. It's not the girl. So Jarvis is the black pug that we have there sitting next to my daughter, Abby. But we also know that Jarvis actually has quite the personality, as you'll see. Jarvis is a little crazy. But he's kind of a fun addition to our family. And I'd love for you on Facebook to share a photo of your pet if you have one, just wherever you are. Maybe your pet's watching with you. But we've got to know Jarvis quite a bit. And the thing that's really fascinated us is how much Jarvis knows our voice and how he's learning words. And we were so excited when Jarvis learned his name. And he even knows his other names like Puppy and Jar Jar Binks. Yeah, pretty much. And he knows all of these things when we call to him. And he even knows when we say things like, you want to go for a walk? In fact, yesterday I said, hey, is anybody going to take him for a walk? And then Jarvis got so excited and we're like, now someone has to take him. He heard me say it. But we know Jarvis well and he knows us well. We know what kind of food he likes. We know what toys he likes to play with. We know even what treats he likes. We know that he loves to play chase, that he loves to go for walks. He even has his own little bedtime routine because, we're a little extra in my house. But we know all this about Jarvis. And Jarvis knows our voice. And we know our pet's voice. And that's what I see in this picture, as Jesus says, the sheep will know my voice. And I will know my sheep, and I will even call them by name. This is a picture of how God knows and cares for us. But here's the thing. God knows our name, and God knows our voice and knows our heart. But you and I, we need to learn to hear the voice of God. And I think that's particularly important during these times in which we are in, our schedules are changing, we're inside more, maybe we have some new routines, even more. We need to spend time with God, whether that's time in scripture, whether that's time in prayer, or even like you're doing now, joining us for church online. And as we've sent out daily videos and updates and Lenten devotionals, all as a way to help you connect with God more than you ever have. Because you and I need to hear the voice of God more than ever before. That we need to hear God's voice among all the other voices around us. That we need to hear God's voice, the voice of our good shepherd, who calls us by name and says, I love you, I see you, I hear you, I am with you, I care for you. That's what you and I need. And I heard this week, and I think this really applies to where we are all at right now. And this is a quote I heard, that you and I need to feed our faith to starve our fear. You and I need to feed our faith to starve our fear. No matter what we're feeling right now, we need to spend more time with God than we ever have before. Because God wants us to hear the voice of Jesus above all other voices that are in our life right now. Because as the Good Shepherd, Jesus not only leads us and knows us by name, but Jesus truly is the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for us. And that's what we see in verse 11, as Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And this is what I want you to know. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus says to all of us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will lay down my life for you. See, oftentimes in Jesus' day, as shepherds would be the gate, and they would be the door, and they would watch over their flock, and predators would come, whether they would be bears or wolves or thieves, that you could tell the hired hands from the from the good shepherds, the shepherds who love their sheep. The hired hands would flee, they would run, they would protect themselves. But the shepherds that really love their sheep would be willing to face whatever challenge, predator, whatever stood before them and the sheep. And Jesus says, that's the kind of shepherd I am. I don't run from trouble. I'll do whatever it takes to rescue you. Just as we sing in that song, Reckless Love, that describes the kind of love that God has for us. And it carries that picture in Luke 15 that Jesus says, I'm the kind of shepherd that I'll even leave the 99 behind to go and find the one that is lost. Jesus says, I am that kind of shepherd. I've come for you. I will rescue you. And it's no coincidence that Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Because oftentimes when we think of good, we could think of one who's morally right, who chooses the right path. But in Greek, this idea of good carries with it this picture of beauty, this picture of the compelling love. It's not just a moral decision, but it really is the love of God. Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd who loves you, and I will be there for you, even to lay down my life. And that's what Jesus did for you and for me. And so in those times where we feel lost and alone, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd who cares for you. In those times where we feel lost because we don't know what's ahead, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd who cares for you. In those times when we just need to know that we are loved, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd who cares for you. And no doubt as Jesus has given him this picture and telling those who would hear him that he is the good shepherd, that he had in mind Psalm 23. And in Psalm 23, we see this picture of a shepherd. And I want us to look at this together. Because this is what it says. Starting in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. See this picture of what a good shepherd is. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A picture of a good shepherd who leads us, who knows us by name, who will lay down his life for us. And I know for many of us that we're beginning to walk through our own darkest valley. Maybe we've lost our jobs. Maybe our jobs have seemed uncertain. Maybe in the midst of this, we're trying to navigate what our new schedules look like. How do we balance work and schooling at home? Maybe we've had so many activities canceled and trips canceled and plans canceled that we're just not really sure what to do. Our own darkest valley. Jesus reminds us, I am the good shepherd. And though you walk through this, I am with you. My rod and my staff will comfort you as I guide you because I care for you. So when we live in a time that's uncertain, know that Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd who cares for you. Will you pray with me? Jesus, I thank you that you are our good shepherd. That as we walk through this time of uncertainty, God, for many of us, it's a time of maybe new routines and maybe discovering quiet in our lives that we didn't realize we needed. But for some of us, it is a time of unsettledness, of insecurity, a time in which we've perhaps even lost the things that are so important to us. Maybe lost things that we desperately need. But Jesus, at this time, we will come to you, our good shepherd, because you know us by name. You know our voice. So God, may our hearts be open to your voice. And God, we know that you're present in the midst of this, working for good in the midst of this, leading us through this dark valley. So may your rod and your staff comfort us as you lead us to those green pastures, as you lead us beside those calm waters. Lord, may we know that truth today. And Lord, today, for those of us who are maybe coming to church for the very first time, may we know you, Lord Jesus, as the one who is with us right where we are, who knows us by name. And Lord, for those of us who have walked with you for years, who know you as the Good Shepherd, may you speak to our hearts on to those that we should pray for, those we should reach out to, those that we should reach out to on social media, maybe those that we can serve by going shopping for them, or maybe even waving hello to our neighbors and just saying, hey, I'm there for you. God, may we show the world how much you care for us, as we need to know that you care for us. So we thank you that you are with us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.